Within Australia, it's reported that 1 in 100 are anorexic, 1 in 10 bulimic, and 1 in 4 12-year-old girls wish to have plastic surgery. These are just some of the confronting statistics, leaving a growing number of citizens fed up with the onslaught of sexualized advertising and marketing aimed at young women from corporations that should know better. Philip Adams famously dubbed it corporate pedophilia, but a new group of ordinary Australians are calling it sexploitations, and they've created a citadel of online activism to fight against it. Jason Rushton reports.
There has been an enormous reaction this week to a new advertising campaign by the underwear company Lovable. To borrow words from FHM, it features Jennifer Hawkins hotter and stickier than ever, licking ice cream and sucking her fingers in poses that Lovable calls cheeky, but critics call hypersexualized.
I guess really Lovable's a fun, cheeky lingerie brand. We are selling lingerie, and lingerie advertising is inherently provocative. It doesn't help that I guess you have an amazing role model with Jen Hawkins, who does look amazing.
Diane Taylor is the group brand marketing manager for Lovable's parent company, Gazal. On Wednesday, 9MSN and the Herald Sun picked up on the controversy of Lovable running these kinds of campaigns while being in a partnership with the Butterfly Foundation, a not-for-profit supporting sufferers of eating disorders and negative body image.
For those girls that obviously are going through this, we generally direct them to the Butterfly Foundation because they're obviously in need of a lot more support than what we can give them. But it is, as we said, it's not about judging how Jen looks, it's about how they feel and about getting the support for them.
The double standards were first brought to light on the blog of Melinda Tankard-Reist, a Canberra-based author, speaker and advocate for women and girls.
Lovable is so spectacularly hypocritical in its advertising that it even surprises me.
Last December, Melinda Tankard-Reist began meeting with a group of other women concerned about what they have termed sexploitation, and in April they launched their own website called Collective Shout.
There was a lot of concern, but a lot of people thought, it's just me, am I hung up, am I a bit prudish, am I a bit old-fashioned? But then they realised, well, actually, a whole lot of other people feel the same way. And now they had an opportunity to express that disease in a collective way and see some real outcomes.
This week, they encouraged their readers to write to Lovable. One father of three from Neutral Bay wrote, "This is the message that you are sending to my daughter and countless other girls growing up in our culture. Underwear equals sex."
A lot of people get concerned when they see that their child is having body image issues, when their 8-year-old is saying, "I'm too fat," or "I don't look hot enough," when their teenage daughter thinks that she's not good enough, that she's just really the sum of her sexual parts and what she can offer sexually. But it's not just parents, it's educators, it's counsellors, it's child development experts who are saying, we're seeing things now that we didn't have to treat even 5 or 10 years ago.
The aim of Collective Shout is simple: to halt the increasing objectification of young women and the sexualization of children in advertising, marketing and broadcast media, a trend that media experts say has worsened dramatically over the last 5 years. They've already had several successes. In February, Best & Less began selling a tween-age padded bra marketed to girls between 6 and 12 years old. Within 24 hours of Melinda blogging on the subject, the product was removed from shelves across Australia. Collective Shout has also helped bring down an Ashley Madison billboard in Sydney promoting adultery, while up in Toowoomba they have been supporting a vocal group of locals in their campaign to get pornographic t-shirts removed from surf shops. But they know they shouldn't need to be doing this kind of work.
So our regulatory bodies have totally failed us. The Advertising Standards Board, the Classification Board have completely failed in their job. Governments have failed us. State and federal governments have failed us. They've allowed it to get as bad as it is. We have a self-regulatory system, which basically means advertisers can do pretty much whatever they like. So there's no real penalties for non-compliance.
Melinda says Australia's regulatory bodies have completely stuffed up and need to be held to account.
They have just treated us with absolute contempt. They have had in the past a very pro-pornography viewpoint, and don't really want restrictions, it seems to me. And it's too dominated by advertising industry voices and representatives. So they have a vested interest in business as usual and not making any changes.
Julie Gale is a mother from Melbourne who founded the organisation Kids Free to Be Kids in 2007.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, self-regulation gets the big fail as far as protection of kids is concerned. It just doesn't work. It serves the industry. That's what it's about. And the advertising industry is self-regulated. It's a voluntary code of ethics. There are no strong penalties if someone, you know, does breach the code of ethics. And it's a reactionary system. So actually, unless someone complains about a billboard, for example, nothing will be done.
In all the regulations, laws and industry codes governing Australian media, there are only a few sentences that deal directly with the sexualisation of children. They were written into the Australian Association of National Advertisers Code on Advertising to Children, but according to the Australian Council on Children and the Media, they are ineffective anyway. The other problem is that regulation happens on a case-by-case basis by separate bodies for separate mediums, whereas sexualisation is a process that occurs through a steady stream of messages from all kinds of media. The seminal paper on the sexualisation of children in Australia, Corporate Pedophilia, was published by the Australia Institute in 2006. It recommended a single organisation to deal with the problem of regulatory convergence. 4 years and one Senate inquiry later, I asked the co-author, Emma Rush, what progress had been made in this issue.
There's been a small amount of progress in the sense that some of the advertising codes have had minor modifications made to them. What I think the key point to remember is that parents and people who work with children are not seeing any difference in the impact on children. So I think, you know, those changes are next to useless.
But the biggest issue, she says, is that the 2008 Senate inquiry had as one of its recommendations that a review be carried out by December 2009 to check whether any of its other recommendations had been implemented. She says the inquiry is just a paper tiger until that review happens.
And if the review happens and says, look, you guys have had a chance to clean up your act and you haven't done so, we need to act more strongly, that's actually what needs to happen. And there is no way that will happen without the public standing up and getting a bit bolshy about it.
A spokesperson for the new youth minister, Peter Garrett, said that it is too soon to say whether or not a review of the sexualisation of children inquiry will be on his agenda. But if groups like Collective Shout keep the racket up, maybe it won't be too long until we do see a review.
Jason Rushton reporting there.